So we're talking about being stewards of the mystery. I don't necessarily think I need to do a whole lot of background because I think we all understand by now that the mystery is the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. And we're talking about being stewards of one of God's greatest gifts to us. God giving us His Holy Spirit, which is the fullness of God dwelling inside of the Christian, inside of the church. The Father, the Son, through the medium of the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of us for a specific purpose. And I think if anything needs to be talked about of being a steward of, that's one of the things that should be laid out. So I got a lot to go over today, but I know we've got a congregational meeting, so I might cut this a little bit shorter and, well, break it up into two parts, because this is probably 40 minutes or so. So I'll probably break this up a little bit. But last week we went through verses 1-5 of 1 Corinthians 4 and also over into the book of Ephesians to discuss Paul's stewardship of the mystery, and that he was actually in prison because he was doing such a good job of being a steward of the teaching of Christ in us and the purpose of Christ being in us. And you think about being in prison, you think, man, he must have done something wrong. No, actually, it means he was doing it very, very right, especially in that day and age. And we might end up finding ourselves in a world where if we're doing a really good job, we could face the exact same thing. It's very possible. And that's why, you know, what Joel said today was really important about making sure you know God, that you know who He is, and that you have that conviction that comes from the Scripture, because that's the only thing that's going to push you to suffer for doing what is right. People suffer for doing what is wrong all the time. You don't want to be one of those. You know, I think about those demon-possessed psychopaths that flew the planes into the World Trade Center, how they thought they were doing the will of God. How they thought when they ran that plane into that building, they were going to wake up in a paradise with all the physical carnal pleasures forever. And the angels escorted them to torment. And how they're probably rethinking and have been for a while now all of the decisions that they made prior to that. And it's not just terrorists who fly planes into buildings and kill a whole bunch of people that suffer that fate. It's anybody who doesn't obey the gospel. We have a tendency to think, and we even say it, oh, so-and-so is a good guy, good gal. They're good people. And from a worldly perspective, they might be. They might be generous. They might be kind. They might be wonderful, and we get along with them great. If they are not in Christ, they are a child of wrath. They are enemies and disobedient to God. Because the Scripture says there is none righteous. No, not one. The only way out of this is through the free gift of grace that God provides through His Son that is ours by faith. That's it. There's no other way out. You're not getting out of here because you're a good person. That doesn't exist. That reality needs to be firmly impressed upon us, because sometimes we can be so close to people and we think they're really wonderful, and they very well could be. I'm not saying they're not, but if they're not in Christ, they're lost, and we need to love them enough to work on that with them. Now, Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we look at verse 3, He says, but to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. The one who examines me is the Lord. So we talked about that a little bit last week. A little bit. And I want to dive into that a little bit more, because this point that we're going to be going over today is that stewards are examined. And we need to understand that, that there is going to be an examination of our stewardship of the Holy Spirit. And that we need to be found trustworthy. Now, Paul states that stewards are examined. This word for examined is an interesting word. You can imagine, I always like bringing up these types of things. It means to scrutinize, interrogate, and put on trial. That's why he uses that concept of the human court. And we talked about that's not really, he doesn't use the word court. He uses the word human day. Contrasting a human day of judgment versus a day of the Lord type of judgment. Okay, that if I'm going to stand before the Lord, the day of the Lord kind of judgment, man, examine me all you want. I don't care. Because what he says there, when he says it's a small thing, it means out of all the things that matter, it ranks at the very bottom. It doesn't matter at all. Judge away. Go for it. Doesn't matter to me at all. Because God is the one who judges me. And isn't that interesting? Because people say that, right? You can't judge me. Only God can judge me. That is exactly correct. God will judge. Now, normally when people say that, they bring up the concept, sometimes implicitly, sometimes explicitly, that I'm just fine because God knows my heart. God knows your heart? Yes, he does. He knows our hearts way better than we know our hearts, doesn't he? We'll get into that a little bit later. But this is a courtroom term. And that's going to be important later too. But he's like, okay, you guys want to put me on the stand and interrogate me? Go ahead. Remember, the Corinthians were one of the groups of people that were questioning Paul's apostleship, because he didn't come about his apostleship by the ordinary route, did he? His was a bit different. He was called directly by God. And he goes ahead and talks a little bit later in 2 Corinthians, the deeds of a true apostle were done in your midst. Now, what that is they were the only people who could transfer spiritual gifts. It's the only thing that an apostle could do that nobody else could do. So Paul being able to transfer the spiritual gifts to the Corinthians was proof that he was an apostle. It's the only proof that he was an apostle. And it was how the false apostles were shown to be false apostles as well. They couldn't do it. So he's like, go ahead, put me on the stand. That's fine. Now, this word means to distinguish and to determine, to judge by vigorously judging from up to down. Okay, in other words, you're looking at this thing from top to bottom, and you're looking at the minutiae of it, and it's actually used of forensics in the ancient world. You know, ancient Rome CSI, you know, where they might go to a crime scene and figure out who done it. The word is used all through 1 Corinthians. 10 out of 16 times the word is used in the Bible is used in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it's used of a spiritual man examining spiritual things. A spiritual individual, a spiritual man or woman, is going to have the ability to interrogate, scrutinize, put on trial spiritual claims. When you think about what's at stake, that is a very valuable tool to be able to have, a very valuable skill to be able to put things on trial. Man, I tell you what, looking at the world, if social media is any indication of the spiritual state of America, people don't have that ability at all. They don't know how to scrutinize. They don't know how to examine. You know, someone claims to be a prophet. They just believe, the Lord put this on my heart, and they just believe it. The Lord spoke to me and said, oh, really? Let's throw this up against the scripture and see what happens. People examining Paul's apostleship, like I mentioned. And interesting, sometimes Christians aren't supposed to examine things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we did this when we went over going over liberty. When you're eating with a non-Christian and they place meat before you, he says, don't ask questions. In other words, he's saying, don't examine it. Don't interrogate. Don't ask questions. Don't figure out where it came from so that, you know, you don't have to find out if it got sacrificed to idols or not. Sometimes ignorance is bliss when it comes to being a Christian. And then in chapter 14, it talks about an unbeliever going at this particular time going into a congregation that did have prophets. Now think about this for a second. Talk about seeker sensitive. You know, we need to be seeker friendly. Paul says, a visitor comes into your assembly. You know what a prophet would do? A prophet would expose the secrets of their heart. Imagine that. Visitor comes in. Prophet stands up and says, you. And starts talking about all the things that they've done in front of everybody. And what's the reaction of the individual? They fall down and say that God is certainly among you. I just wonder, all these places that supposedly have prophets, I wonder if that's part of their like evangelism program. It's like, invite your friends. We'll expose them in front of everybody. You know? No, that probably isn't how that works. See, examine. We touched on this last week, but since we are open and laid bare before the Lord, the righteous judge of all, if someone else judges us, why is that a big deal? I guarantee you they're probably going to get it wrong. And remember, we talked last week, the end of last week, that doesn't give us, if we're supposed to consider it not a big deal, why don't we go ahead and just judge each other? Because number one, that's not really conducive to the type of environment that TK was talking about during his meditation. We're supposed to love each other, man. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. We're supposed to be sowing into each other. If we're all just judging and biting and devouring each other, watch out, we're going to get bitten and devoured as well. That's how that works. So, no, Paul says, don't keep on judging. But when you compare the judgments, I'd rather get judged by people than by God, because that second judgment is going to be pretty severe. Others will judge us, and they're going to do so on their own belief system. I mean, people can't help it. Internet's full of it. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably done it, haven't we? We probably judge people and perhaps a little bit unfairly and not really looked at ourselves. Now, if you go to the next chapter, and Jeremiah talked about this on Wednesday, so I won't belabor the point. You know, the scripture actually lets us know that we are supposed to judge those inside the church. That is supposed to happen. And this is all part of the stewardship of the mystery. If the purpose of the mystery, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us is to produce a people who are holy and righteous, and you have someone in your midst that just doesn't care, and they're proud in their sin, and their sin is destroying and causing the name of Christ to be stepped on, he says, remove them. I mean, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. He says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or the swindlers or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But I actually wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother If he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are outside or within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. He says a little bit later, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. If you allow a lot of, if you allow someone who's just unrepentant, unabashedly sinning morally in the church like this, it's going to infect other people. They have to be removed. Now, who gets to do that? Well, he tells us in Galatians 6, so, TK was there a little bit early. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he says, you who are spiritual. So it's not a free-for-all. God judges those outside the church. We are to proclaim their judgments to them. So this is proclaiming the gospel. In proclamation of the gospel, the righteous standards of God are laid out. And God's standards are being proclaimed. We tell them to be saved. Now, what happens if we are judged? I'm probably gonna end here. What do we do if we are judged? It's not something we're supposed to do, but it's invariably going to happen, right? I'd like to ask you to take a very specific tact with this. This is my opinion. I think we should take what they say and ask, is it true? Most people automatically dismiss it because they say, you can't judge me. Only God can. The approach that I've taken in my life, and it served me well, so I'm speaking with a little bit of experience on this, as I take a step back and I ask, is it true? It's amazing what we can find out if we take the judgments of others and put them through the self-examination process of the scriptures. I've even gone a step further many times in my life where if someone judges me, and it doesn't matter how they do it, they can do it in a completely improper way. The fact that they're judging anyway in a lot of ways and a lot of times is very improper. But sometimes they can do it in a mean, spiteful, hateful way to cause pain, right? And it'd be really, really easy to dismiss it and say, well, because of the way they did it, because they're being malicious, I'm just going to throw it away. I'm just going to toss it out. After I stew on it for a while, then I'm going to toss it out. No matter how it's delivered, I think it's really good to examine it. And then maybe to talk to somebody else who's willing to tell you the truth in your life and say, do you see this in me? I think that's a really valuable self-examination process. And just because someone else might see it in you or not see it in you, again, it doesn't make it true necessarily. The ultimate judge, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, the ultimate judge is going to be God. It's going to be the scriptures. You allowing yourself to be laid open and bare before him. But I would really encourage you, because I've learned a lot in my life. At the very least, it might be how I come across to people. And I might be coming across in the complete opposite way that I intend to be. I would strongly caution you from believing every criticism. I would also strongly caution you from dismissing every criticism. If our goal is to be like Christ, knowing that we're going to have to stand and be examined by God. Doesn't it make sense to get in the habit of taking an examination now if it happens to come our way? To not be so sensitive that we can't take something, even if it's delivered in a malicious way, and say, wow, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if there's anything accurate in this. And if there is, let's be humble enough to change it. Because all we get out of it, if we do that, is possibly finding another way that we can become more like Christ. Get rid of the flesh. Put more things to death through the Spirit. And be more renewed into the image of God. And sometimes those judgments hurt. And sometimes they can come from people who are close to you. And they can come in a very malicious, hurtful way that just have a tendency to gut. And it's painful. It really, really is. But I still think the next step after you deal with the pain, after you deal with the feelings that will absolutely come as a result of hearing those things, is to just ask, is it true? Talk to people you can trust, but most importantly, examine yourself through the Scriptures and allow God, through His Spirit, to help confirm or vindicate. Because He'll do both. So we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll pick back up next week.